so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
Him tonight. We've got quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry Horn if he don't mind to come pray over these. Sister Carrie Airwood would like for us to pray for a friend that her eye will heal after repeated surgeries. Also, please pray for my mother who has developed a blood clot after knee replacement. So let's remember her. Please pray for Brother Don Cooper having biopsy in the morning. Brother Joel Moyer turns in a request for his family. Pray that our daughters come home. Please pray that this court case against Child Services gets thrown out of court. Thanks for continued prayers for my family. Continued prayers for my wife. God is moving, not slack concerning His promises. So let's remember that family. Brother Bobby and Sister Sherry Hayton want to give thanks to the Lord for protecting their lives. They were in an automobile accident on vacation. The van was totaled, but they walked away with only minor injuries. His angel of mercy was truly traveling with us. So we certainly thank the Lord for looking out for them. Sister Joanne Tessa wanted to share with you. She came up for prayer Sunday morning for pain in my knees. The Lord touched me and relieved the pain. I just want to thank Him for touching me and praise His wonderful name. So we sure appreciate you sharing that testimony and thankful for what the Lord's done for Sister Joanna. Please pray for Brother Keith Phillips, not feeling well, unable to be in church tonight. And also a special prayer request for Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Gravely, important decisions in their lives coming up. If we stand tonight as Brother Terry comes and just takes these knees to the Lord.
I'm so thrilled to get to go back to church tonight. Will you pray with me as we pray and let's have faith? believe for these requests, and I know that we'll hear testimonies out of what has been requested here tonight. Heavenly Father, I don't know how sufficiently to thank you that we have another opportunity to be in church. My heart's desire, Lord, as we just sang that song, that's such a great few words. Lord, you are my heart's desire. Everything that we have, all good and perfect gifts come from above. All that we have been given, Lord, it all comes from you. All good and perfect gifts come from you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you have given us not only salvation, redemption. You've given us the greatest message that ever struck the earth, because this is the complete revelation of Christ. Lord, you saved the best for last. You gave us understanding. You gave us goodness. We live in a land of freedom. Lord, we just celebrated the July the 4th again. We don't know how much more time we have here, even on this earth. We're longing to leave, to go home with you. Lord, as the children of Israel, as the taskmasters begin to get harder, and they begin to get less desirous of the earthly things and more desirous to leave and go to the promised land. Lord, you're just taking the worldly desires and the carnality out of us, Lord, and you're giving us really a more desire for spiritual things and to leave this world. I talk to people and say, I have no interest. I can't get interested in doing this or doing that. We work, we go to job, we do this, we do that, Lord, just passing time, redeeming the time. But our heart's desires, Lord, is to leave this world and to go home with you. There's nothing for the bride here. There's no satisfaction. There's no savor here at all. It's just, our desire is to go home to be with you. We think about these requests that the Brother Moyer has given in 3 or 4 times for his court case, his daughter, the condition up there. You know all about it. I just ask that your will be done. Let it be restored according to their desire, if that be your will. And Lord, you undertaken their behalf, and I believe that you will. Lord, each one of these requests I hold in my hand. I know that you're an ever-present help in a time of need. I know, Lord, that we thank you that you brought our pastor back home safely. And dear God, I was thinking this afternoon as I was praying, Lord, we still enjoy being able to go to church 3 times a week. I know many, many of the message churches, they only have 2 services. Well, I guess that's okay for them, but we still have 3 services. We enjoy 3 services. Our pastor, he labors and studies. It's not a 30-minute preparation, but hours and hours he puts in. We're so blessed. I don't have sufficient words to say thank you, Lord. And every time he preaches, he gives 150%. I know he don't like to be bragged on, but Lord, we just brag on you because he's your servant. And I pray that you'll just bless him tonight and anoint him to speak. And Lord, in the things that's said tonight, may they be a comfort and inspiration, and give us, Lord, strength for the journey. Give us spiritual food in due season. Give us faith muscles, Lord, to be able to hold that two-edged sword. Lord, in each one of these requests, heal them, make them well, restore them, bring them back into the service. And may their lives be full of joy and happiness and consolation, and never losing their enthusiasm for the coming of the Lord. Bless all that's done and said tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight.
Well, I know a man who can walk on water anytime, any place, anywhere. And I know a man who can calm a storm, time, any place, anywhere. The storm meets you there. Anywhere.
If the brothers would like to come and lift the offering tonight. Just in case you're tired, worked hard today, we're going to keep it moving tonight. Let's sing this so you would know. Well, how many times must I prove how much I love you? And how many ways must my love for you I show? Must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I wake you up this morning? You were clothed in your bright mind. And didn't you walk right in your clothes? And each step was right in. All around you, and how many nights must I wipe all your tears away, and how many storms must I bring you safely through so you would know just how much I love you? Didn't I this morning, and you were clothed in your right mind. Didn't you walk right in your closet? Easter was right in the time. You were weary from life's journey. Didn't my angels carry you so you would know how much I found me. Well, we had a special plan for tonight, and I was supposed to be singing the special, so I've decided to let myself off the hook. I'm such a nice guy like that. So let's all sing together. Brother Donnie gets ready to come, if Harry don't mind, to sing one of these verses for that. For the song, I'm So Glad He Found Me. Let's sing this together as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. If you'd like to stand tonight, and sing a verse for
us. I was on a mountain, wandering from the fountain, when I heard the Savior speak to me. Said, come to me, relenting of all your sins, repenting, and child, I will lead you out where you can see.
Raise your hands if you're glad about it.
lover and stray from him. No, never, 'cause he's the dearest friend that I ever knew. One day when I see him yonder, my love's gonna still grow fonder.
Aren't you glad he found you? My word, where would we be tonight if he hadn't found us by his grace? We'd be like all the rest of these poor people out here, looking, searching, hunting for something. But God in his mercy and grace allowed us to find the truth. Led us right straight to it. Couldn't ask for no better than that, could we? Amen. So happy to be back home. Trust everybody's doing well. Heard you had some good services while I was gone. Always makes the pastor's heart happy whenever the sheep are blessed. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33, if you would, again tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 18. Deuteronomy 33, 18 and 19. And then we'll read also in Genesis 49:13. Harry, come in and kick his monitor around a little bit for me, please. This corner. It's good. And of Zebulun he said, "Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness." What an identity to have, that you're responsible for helping people go to church. Yeah. "They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand." Genesis 49:13. Jacob says it this way about Zebulun. "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." This is just about one of the most confusing scriptures I've read in my life. Without understanding. Now let's read it again. "Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon." Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how we love you tonight. How we thank you for the word of God. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you have enlightened us to your word. We realize, Father, that you chose to hide it from the wise and prudent and reveal it to those that could be taught. Lord, I thank you. I pray that each of us here tonight can be taught by the Spirit of God. Lord, I'm sure that many of us would be quite surprised to see how the mystery of our life is just as intertwined and hidden as Zebulun. Some people's life, it looks like it's so very simple. Their inheritance is so simple, easy to understand, easy to read, easy to find, easy to fulfill. Others, you will cloak it in mystery. Their name is in mystery. The way they come to you is in mystery. Their battles are different. It just seems everything about their life is so much more complicated than others. Yet it doesn't make them any better, any greater. It's just the way you work your program. I pray that we would learn tonight. Father, as we sit in your presence, we love you so much. We want you to know we love you. And we're not just saying that because it's the thing that Christians are supposed to say. We say it because we mean it. We love you with all of our hearts. Bless us tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. One border toward the sea, another toward the great trading center of Sidon. Yet the scripture doesn't quite say it that way. It says it, but it don't say it. It's clear, but it's not real clear. It's easy to understand once you understand it. But until you understand it, it ain't very easy to understand. Y'all understand what I'm trying to understand? The understanding I'm trying to get to your understanding? You see, God is placing these people in the land. And we know that it's a parallel to what the New Testament church is going to be. Brother Branham referred to it so many times in reference to adoption. And we know that our own lives is such a parallel to what the children of Israel were. And there was tens of thousands of these people that would belong to a certain tribe, depending on which time frame that they were counted, whether it was Numbers or Samuel or Chronicles. The number would vary from 45,780 to, over in Chronicles, maybe to 83,570. So it would vary from one time to another. And yet this is a prophetic utterance that is being uttered about a tribe, but it's also inclusive of individuals that are in that tribe. Now, there's no way that every one of those individuals in that tribe had exactly the same identical makeup. There's no way every one of them were born under the same sign or the same star. So you wonder what was it that helped them to be able to pull into this identity when it was not their natural nature to be what the prophecy had said. Now, in this, we see with every one of these tribes the very same thing. Some by natural birth, maybe it was easier for them to lean toward being warlike. Or others, it was easier for them to lean toward being merchants and tradesmen. And maybe there was others, it was easier for them to lean toward being shepherds and pasturing animals, and others in vineyards and training of sheep and so on. But yet they were born under different signs, different stars, different mothers and fathers. And no doubt they had to have some personalization of the application of the word that God had to modify and help them to change to be able to allow them to become what the word said they would become. Now maybe somebody that was born in the tribe of Zebulun would have actually, by natural makeup, would have fit better in the tribe of Judah. Or somebody in the tribe of Judah, by natural birth paths, by natural makeup, they could have fit in the tribe of Gad
a whole lot easier than they could Judah or Zebulun or Issachar. But yet, if they were born in that tribe, this was the prophecy that God had given to them. So, what are they going to do? Now, their nature is not to be warlike, or their nature is not to be a troop, or their nature is not to be a merchant that's going to deal with the sea and all that sort of thing. But yet, this is where they were born. This is where they were placed. And what this was the prophecy with a double confirmation given first of all by Jacob and reconfirmed before Moses is fixing to leave the world, again running it in perfect harmony and perfect parallel. So what do they do? Do they look at it and say, well, I know the word says that about me. I know the word says that about the tribe of Zebulun, and my genealogy is in Zebulun for sure. But really, I'm more like Judah. I'm more like Issachar and Naphtali. I'm more like Reuben. I really don't belong in Zebulun at all. So what should they do? Well, if you can answer that for me, I will answer you what you should do. You see, there's many things about that the Word says about us that naturally it might not come easy for us to do. It might be easier for us to, if you're real strong and you're really styled and, you know, you've got a real strong head and a strong will, and yet the Word tells you to humble yourself. And the Word will tell you not to be arrogant or proud, but yet pride and arrogance runs in your family. Now, what are you going to do? Then you'll say, well, you know, I really can't help that. I'm a proud person. I'm an arrogant person. I've always had a problem with my temper, and I just can't help it. It's just the way I am, and I'm not going to try to change, and I'm just going to be this way. You're settling for less. Because the Word of God should bear emphasis over everything about us humanly. Now, even though our nature might be toward being high-tempered instead of being calm, yet the Word of God never tells any of us to be high-tempered. The Word never tells any of us to be selfish, yet we're all born that way. The Word never tells us to be arrogant. The Word never tells us to have pride. Praise the Lord. The Word never tells us many of these things, that all of us have one or many of the above by natural nature. Now, what we will do is ask God to help change us and modify us and learn how to discipline ourselves to the prophecy that is spoken about us, or we will make excuse. Well, it's just the way I am. I can't change it. I'm not going to change. God, you accept me the way I am, and the church accepts me the way I am, or I'll go somewhere else because I'm not going to change. It's too much trouble. I ain't got the patience to change. I'm not going to do it. But we're not talking about just you going to church. We're talking about you going in a rapture. Now, you see, there won't be one stubborn, strong-willed, hard-headed person that goes in the rapture. Not one. No women, no preachers, no deacons, no trustees. There won't be one person that's full of human pride or arrogance that goes in the rapture. There'll not be one hard-headed person that goes. Boy, you folks are getting quiet on me. There won't be one that goes. Now, it's up to you. You don't have to change. Certainly not. If you don't want to change, that's entirely up to you. But I'm preaching to those who want to get out of here. Now, if you want to get out of here, then you look at the prophecy that has been given to us of this hour, which is what? To mirror the image of our husband, the Lord Jesus. Our husband, the Lord Jesus, did not have pride. He was not arrogant. He was not hard-headed. He was not stubborn. He could be led on and on and on and on. Now, if It's entirely up to us if we don't want to be like Him. He is not going to make us. But if we are truly bride, we want more than anything else in this world to be like Him. Now think of the difficulty that it must have been, though, for these people as they were born in this certain tribe. They didn't have any choice over the prophecy that was given to them. And yet it might not have come very easy, as much of our fulfillment does not come easy to us. There's much of my lot in life that's been given to me by God that has been very unpleasant, very difficult. And I would have never chose the path that I'm in tonight had I been given a choice. I would have never chosen to be a preacher. I would certainly have never chosen to be the kind of preacher that I am. Many of you would have never chosen, no doubt, to be many things that God has led you to be. But it really wasn't given to me on multiple choice. God never asked me if I wanted me to be a preacher. He just said I was. He never even asked me if I wanted to be a pastor or not. It's just the way it is. He never asked me if I wanted to be a soft preacher or a hard preacher or an easy preacher or a political preacher. He just gifted me the way He did, and I just have to deal with the consequences. Now, it's the same with every one of us in our lot of life. And many of us, you know, we look for it to be easy. My, people that aren't nature, say men that aren't nature to be a family man. Yet they want to get married and they want a wife and they want children. And yet in their human makeup, they're not natured really to spend a lot of time with their family. Now that man has a great responsibility laying before him. Either he will do what the Word says do, and he will discipline himself to become what a real husband and a real father is supposed to be. Or he will go back, well, I'm not that way. It's not the way I'm made. My daddy wasn't that way. My grandpa wasn't that way. And he'll go on and rob his wife and rob his children of what they should have in a home. And he'll maintain his own selfish stand on that and say, well, it's just not in me. I'm not going to do it. I'm sorry. I just can't. That's what you knew the way I was when you married me. And that's, you're stuck with me the way it is. Now, that person is never going to leave this world in a body change. Why would you say that, Brother Donnie? Because they've not learned to bring their body subject to the Word. Only those who've learned to bring their body subject to the Word and making their body obey the Word will consummate in the body being changed. You see, those whose body controls them will never go in the body change, because it proves the life of the resurrector is not living inside of them to subject their flesh to the Word. Well, hallelujah. I mean, do you folks want to go in the rapture? You want to stay in the tribulation period? It's up to you. Now, myself, I don't look forward. I'm not planning on being here when this United States of ours is wracked by famine and whatever more, earthquakes and tidal waves, and finally be destroyed by bombs. I don't plan on being here when all that happens. I'm going to be gone. And I am bringing my body subject to the Word right now, so the rapture will be the final stage of my body being subjected to the Word. Now, there's many things about my job as a pastor, as a minister, or other things, aspects of my life, that I've had to teach myself the discipline that is required for me to do it. Because I want to do it without an attitude. Now, I don't want to just obey the Word and do what the Word says. But I want to do it with the right attitude, with the right frame of mind. I don't want to do it with resentment. You're going to preach with me? I don't want to do it with, well, I got to do it. I might as well go ahead and get it done. No. That's not who I am. I want to obey the Word, and I want to do it with a real godly, righteous attitude. I want to be the right kind of husband, the right kind of father, the right kind of grandfather, the right kind of friend, the right kind of pastor and brother and uncle, and on and on and on and on. And I don't want to do it with any type of attitude that's displeasing to the Lord. So you imagine that when these men begin to hear these prophecies. Now, when Jacob, of course, is prophesying it years and years prior to Moses, there's these 12 men that are standing around his bedside, and Jacob is fixing to leave. They already have some children, of course, but the tribe has not exploded to the place to where it has in the days of Moses. So looking at, say, this man and his son, and maybe he's got two sons, it wouldn't have been near as difficult to imagine that this man, well, his son is like him, and his other son is sort of like him, but now we're living in several generations on down from the initial giving of the word, and you've got all kinds of different cultures and nature. They've come from Egypt. They've come from different kind of influences, but the word don't change. Now, God never modified this prophecy and said, well, because y'all been down in Egypt for a while and y'all are acting like Egyptians now and talking like Egyptians, I'm going to have to polish up this message and make it a little bit more Egyptian. I'm going to have to change it a little bit and work on this prophecy. God don't do that. You change to the word. He don't change the word for you. So what did God do? Instead of God modifying it now for the Philistine camp or for the Amorites or the Hittites, God come right back and reverberated the same thing again, the same thought, the very same prophecy, hundreds of years later, saying exactly the same thing in another land, in another culture, in another time frame, dealing with all times of different circumstances. And that's why I say the message of this hour is fitting for this hour that we live. We don't need to polish it up. We don't need to make it more modern and make it more socially acceptable. If God give this message, there's going to be a people in this hour that's going to live it. And they're going to obey it. Not only that, they're going to love it. They're absolutely going to so be in love with this word. It is not going to be a drudgery for them to go to church. It's not going to be a drudgery for them to obey the word. It will be their very life, because they are a prophetic class of people, and their soul harmonizes with the prophecy of this hour. Oh, hallelujah. Now, notice whenever Moses says his, he words it just a little bit different from Jacob, but he still places it in a very obscure type of a way that the average reader that would read this in the scripture would make you think that it's setting right toward by the sea. But if you'll notice some of the Hebrew words, it's actually toward the sea, not actually at the sea, and toward the grading trading area of the Phoenician city of Sidon. Now, one word can make such a difference in how we understand, of course, God's word. Now, whenever we look at it, we realize that God was hiding the mystery of what was going to take place in the land many, many years to come. Even now, when Moses is saying this, it's going to be quite some time before all these children get their inheritance. And we know that Usher says it was 26 years that the book of Joshua was unfolding, so it was many years. Whenever Caleb came in to get his land, he didn't get his parcel about 5 years or so, even after they started taking over the land. So it was several years before they finally started moving in. And once they moved into the land, no doubt, it took them quite some time to be able to realign their thinking. They've been fighting and killing and destroying and annihilating for years. How do you lay all that down and go out and pick up a sickle and a hoe and a mattock and go to planting corn and milking goats and go to sopping pigs, or, well, I guess they didn't have pigs, but feeding cows? And how do you go to cutting people's livers out and go to cutting the goat's liver out? How do you just change all of a sudden? It must have took some time for them to adapt to this different type of thinking, from a warrior type of thinking into that of a nomad, or from a warrior to that of a merchant man. And you realize God in his grace has done exactly the same thing for us. Now, many of us, maybe you're right in the middle of the will of God for your life tonight. Maybe some of you, it's taken decades after the full embrace of the truth and you realize what the message of the hour is all about. It may actually take you decades to be washed away from erroneous teaching that you've had, or error that you've been bred into you. And yet the Spirit of God is so patient in dealing with us. And he's not just saying with us, of course, at Happy Valley, but his saints around the world, in order to bring them to that spot of where they need to be. Now, to me, the rapture cannot consummate until the Zebulun is actually in full swing of his trade. It cannot consummate until Gad has fulfilled his spot as a truth. It cannot be able to happen until Dan is like the adder. It cannot happen until each one of these reach their place. It's the same with us. I don't think there'll be one prophecy that'll be left unfulfilled for the bride of Christ. Do you? Now, we know that many things, of course, for the tribulation period and for the Gentiles after the rapture. But as far as the bride is concerned, I believe every one of us must be in our place, chopping our corn, eating our maters, peeling our taters, whatever we're supposed to do, because it is part of the antitype of what Enoch was. Enoch wasn't now trying to find what God wanted him to do. He was doing it every day. He was unfolding the mystery of God in the form of stone in the pyramid. He built it in the very center of the earth. He built many of the arches and the angle of degree with the exact same curvature that is upon the face of the earth, which was not even known until this age we live in now. Neither did he know many of the things as far as scientifically. It's not even been found out until this day. And yet he was doing it by the Spirit of God. So he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do, day by day by day by day. And the rapture was just the final step of that long, oh my, that long journey of the will of God of Enoch's life. I believe it's the same for us as the people of God. Now, watch in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 19. He says, they shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of treasures hid in the sand. Now, watch this parallel of what Jacob says in Genesis 49:13. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea and shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. But when you take the Hebrew now, it's actually literally, he shall be to or toward the shore of the ships. Toward the shore of the ships. Now, he's not actually going to be on the shore, but toward. Well, why don't God say it that way? You can ask him when we get there. There's many things God don't just come right out and say. Yet everybody's mystery of their life isn't quite as complicated as Zebulun. I feel like Zebulun 144,000 times sometimes. Anybody ever struggle with the will of God for your life? Well, for those that you don't, would you please come up and lay your hands on me? You know, you say, why would God make his part so mysterious? I don't know. Don't you love hearing a preacher say that? I don't know. That's a rare word out of a preacher's mouth. Now watch. Zebulun shall dwell at a haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto, though he's many, many miles from Sidon. His border shall be unto. Now, the haven of ships is not, as we would think literally, that the ships would dock. It's the contents of the ships they're going to unload and make their way to him, and from there be exported to the rest of their brethren. Oh, glory. Watch. Moses again in Deuteronomy 33:18. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, and thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. Now these two tribes are the last two sons of Leah. And Moses unites them together. Now they're not just united together because they have the same father and the same mother. But their destiny is tied closer together than their half brothers. Oh my. You know, friends, I wish we could understand that. You and I both, we all know that there are people that we might wish, I wish I was best buddies with that guy. I wish that guy was my best buddy. But you realize we may try and try and try to make make this preacher our best friend, or that preacher our best friend, or that layperson you come to church with, and you try and try, and it seems like it never works. And there's other people, it just seems like it slips together, and there's nothing you can do. Now, some people look at that and call that a click. It's not a click if God joins it together. Now, a click is whenever you make it and you won't let nobody else in your clicker. But you see, when God puts people together, just like He did here, look at the joint prophecy or how they are co-heirs and what they're going to be able to receive. Notice this again. And of Zebulun, He said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. Now, these two tribes are totally different. They are totally opposite in the sense of what they're going to do. Now, both of them, of course, have a different star, a different birth path, a different prophecy in the sense of their destiny. But as they're going to their destiny, there will be harmonious blending together as they're going from point A to point B. Now, God by prophecy, oh my, God by prophecy spoke that they would have this harmony. Now, what if Judah said, well, let me into this. Let me try to be part of this. God never spoke Judah into this harmony. It was, don't you understand that I believe with all of my heart that God, when God calls a man to be a pastor, that God sends people into that area. And God will send musicians and deacons and trustees and other ministers that are there. If every one of us can just find our place and find where we belong and find who our pastor is. And find out where God wants us to be. And if God joins our paths together, even though one may be a Zebulun and the other may be an Issachar, one is a tradesman, one travels back and forth, and the other one loves his tents. He don't care if he goes to Bristol or not. He don't care if he goes to Kingsport or not. He just loves being as a house. But yet together they are joined together by prophecy. They don't have to be exactly the same. They don't have to exactly shout the same or cry the same or rejoice the same. They are joined together by the word of the Lord. Oh, isn't that wonderful? My. Notice this. You realize now that Moses, by the Spirit of God, is saying this, of course. Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. Now, he's going to be trafficking back and forth. So he's going to make journeys up to Sidon. And part of it, maybe he'll have mediators that'll come back and forth. And they'll be journeying over to the sea. And they just coming and going and coming and going. Man, they're just traveling around everywhere. And Issachar just sees them. How you going? Where you been this time? I've seen you come back. See you later. But yet by prophecy they were joined together. They wouldn't even seem to go together. Well, hallelujah. Of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. Now listen, they are actually to rejoice that God gifted them with the ability to go out. But Issachar is to rejoice that he's a homebody. Ain't never been out of the state, as we'd say. Man, he's taking a far trip. He's going up to Rome Mountain tomorrow and coming back before sunset. He's taking a far journey. Him and his wife is going to Asheville on Sunday morning. They're going to be back Sunday afternoon. And that's Issachar. Yet Issachar is to rejoice because of this. Zebulun is to rejoice because he said, where have you been? Man, let me see your passport. Oh, my goodness. There's Cyprus. There's Austria. There's Geneva. There's all these places. And my, he's to rejoice because God's made him the way he is. Issachar is to rejoice in the way that God made them. And neither one. None of them are exactly the same. Is anybody hearing me tonight? How could these two be linked together? Praise God. They occupied two different worlds, two different spheres in the land of Israel. Do you imagine when they get together, what would they have in common? Have you heard how much gold is now? And an old boy from Issachar said, how much? You know how long it takes an ear of corn to go from a seed to a row? You know how long it takes carrots to mature? And I said, hush, don't talk to me about carrots. Man, I deal in gold and silver and gems and pearls. What would they have in common? The word prophesied a commonality. What would they talk about, though? What would they fellowship? You think of it, they were from two different worlds. But the word put them together. Believe what you want. This is what I want at Happy Valley. I want who God wants here. I don't want nobody more, nobody less. Come on. I'm not interested in proselyting. I'm not interested in trying to get this person from that church and this person from that church. I don't want anybody other than who God wants here with us. And I believe that God makes each church this same way. That God diversifies that church because it is needful for the body. You imagine if you didn't have some neighbors like Issachar that live right next door to these traveling guys with their suitcases. When your wife's plumbing broke up, who are you going to call? Who's going to keep an eye on your house when your hubby's out gone selling pearls and diamonds and gems? Some of them brothers from Issachar. But if you need a good wedding ring or an engagement ring for your girlfriend, who do you figure you would want to call on? An old boy that plants corn? Or a diamond trader from Tyre and Sidon? So what can you do? You benefit one another. You are a blessing to one another. You may not understand one another. You may not be able to relate in all common points to one another. But yet somehow you love one another because the word prophesied you together. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Friend, what a happiness and a peace there would be if we could just rejoice in being where God has placed us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. And Issachar, in thy tents. Wow. I said, wow. So these are to rejoice, so world travelers. These other guys are to rejoice, they got a tent. Well, a tent would be better than sleeping out in the rain, wouldn't it? Now, which one do you figure was the most wealthy? Which one do you figure had the most margin of profit? One worked by his wits, and the other one worked by his hands and his back. But they're both to rejoice. Well, I hope somebody shared me tonight. If each of us could find our spot and not be jealous of one another. Oh, so-and-so gets to sing more than I do. So-and-so gets to play the guitar more than I do. I'm mad. I ain't going back. I'm this another. Why don't you find your place? Just find your place. You know, if I was a once a month preacher and that's what God had gifted me to be, I wouldn't want to preach five times a month. If God had gifted me to be to preach 10 times a month, I would want to preach one time a month. Well, I would want to preach one time a month, but I wouldn't want to preach one time a month. It'd be a lot easier if I do it, but I'd get in trouble if I do that. I'm not a once a month preacher. I get in trouble if I do that. But other men that try to preach 10 times, if they don't have that capacity, they're going to get just as much trouble as I would. Or any other man. So what do? We rejoice in our going out. And the next man rejoices in his tent. And the other rejoices in his carrots. And the other rejoices in his sheep. And the other rejoices in his farm and in his land. We just rejoice in what God's made us to be. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. Notice what Jacob said now about Issachar. Genesis 49:14. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. A donkey. Now, if anybody called us today a donkey, we wouldn't think too highly of them, would we? Now, it's because of our view of a donkey. But now, when the scripture was written, a donkey was a very prized animal. As a matter of fact, it was ridden by kings. Oh, yes. And kings' families and prophets. Remember what the prophet Balaam come riding on? He wasn't riding on an ox or a white horse. He was riding a donkey. What Jesus come riding in Jerusalem on? Foal of an ass. Now, it was a symbol of strength. Now, to us, we see an old ugly donkey on the field, say, poor old thing. My goodness, look at that poor ugly thing. Look at that quarter horse. Boy, he is so beautiful. Man, watch him run. Look at that Tennessee walking horse. But you see, for them, it was a symbol of strength. It was a symbol of a burden bearer. Now look at what Issachar, the prophecy pertaining to Issachar, is going to be. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. So here the prophecy says that Issachar is going to bear heavy loads. Now part of it will be self-inflicted. Part of it will be because of where they are positionally placed. It's amazing how and hard many of these things can work. That with the positive aspects of our call, there can also be negative aspects of the same thing. And it takes the Spirit of God to help balance us out. This is why we need visiting preachers sometimes in a church, because the local preachers as well as the pastor gets in a certain direction and a certain thing, and sometimes an outsider will come in. Oh, come on now. Come on. An outsider will come in and deal with a little something. You know why? He's able to pick it up. That commonality among us, he don't see it. You know, now watch. Issachar is a strong ass catching down between two burdens. So this is the chief virtue now that Jacob is going to give to Issachar. That Issachar is going to be a people that have the ability to labor. The people that have the ability to put heavy burdens on them, and they can bear them without grumbling. That is a blessed individual. We're living in an age today that if you put a featherweight burden on people's shoulders, that's too heavy, that's too hard. If you can bear burdens without grumbling, you're a blessed person. Uh-oh, wasn't very many folks said amen. Come on now, y'all rather be a quarter horse, wouldn't you? You'd rather be a prancing Arabian. But you know, God has these symbols, and a beast, of course, in the Bible is a representation of a power. So God says about Issachar that Issachar is as a strong donkey, that the donkey is bearing the burden, two burdens, I mean, that's the way he said it. Issachar is a strong ass casting down between two burdens. So at the time of the judges, the tribe of Issachar was one of the main ones to be able to render many men in helping fight with Deborah and Barak. Also, you'll find it was from them that other things come, and they bore a great burden among the children of Israel. But a donkey not only has good traits, but he has some bad ones. And that is that a donkey can tend to be kind of hard-headed and stubborn. Well, since there ain't nobody here like that, y'all should be able to say amen. Because I'm preaching to these people on the internet now. So a donkey can be stubborn, it can be hard-headed, and a donkey can tend to, under a heavy load, just sit right down in the middle of the road. So he just squats right down and sits right there. And you come over and you hit him and kick him and pull and whatever more, and he just sits right there. Oh. I ain't going to church no more. So what does he do? He just couches underneath some heavy burdens and he sits right there until he gets ready to move. Now, with this is a positive side. They're a good burden bearer, but they can also be so stubborn and so hard-headed. You see, many people are like this as well. Those who get so involved in works in the church. They work and work and work and work. Boy, they're in the middle of everything coming and going. Everything coming and going. And right there is where they'll tend to get mad at you. You watch them. In their works is where they'll tend to get mad and aggravated. And they'll sit right down in the middle of the road. My goodness, you folks are quiet. Did Brother Gadman take all y'all's amens? This is the first of the month. I thought the first of the month everybody got the check. Didn't y'all get an extra supplement of amens the first of the month? to be a great people. You see, each of these tribes, whenever the prophecies set forth of them, they will have positive and negative traits or characteristics that's given to them by that word. You know, it's the same with us, that every church is that way, every ministry is that way, every individual is that way. No doubt every one of you here tonight have wonderful traits about you that is so excellent quality and just wonderful traits. But also, every one of you, no doubt, have at least one. Half of one, a quarter of one, a third, a tithing, a tenth of your part. You've got a part of something about you that still needs working on. And with your wonderful positive traits, there also be, and it's amazing how they can be so linked together. Look at Brother Branham. He was called to be a spiritual guide to the bride of Christ. And yet Satan tried to mess him up and get him to go up north and be a natural guide because it was something, look how it harmonized together. Well, if the people don't want to receive my message, fine, let them do whatever they want to do. I'll go up north here and I'll be able to catch some good fish and be able to hunt some, and I'll be a guide. God didn't want him to be no guide in the Northwest and want him to be a guide down here to us. So it's the same with every one of us. All of our positive traits, there is a flip side of that positive trait, and it'll get us in trouble as well as excel us in the glory of God if we're not careful. Now watch, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. So we see that Issachar is going to be a tribe that is going to have a heavy burden laid upon them. Now, you know, this is amazing that Zebulun is never classified in this way, nor Dan, nor Naphtali, nor Reuben, and the rest of them, but this is a trait that is given to this people. Now, no doubt there were people born in the tribe of Issachar that maybe their nature was more like that. They were just work-oriented type people. And they just done all kinds of things for people, and they really liked doing it. And there's probably a few Happy Valleyites. Issacharites. You had to beg them to work at the Fall Fest. I mean, to be able to... You have to beg and beg and beg and beg them to do anything. And then they want double overtime. They want two eternal lives when they get at the end of the way. You can't live out one, much less two. You see, there must have been some of them that just had really a hard time being nice to people and doing favors and bearing burdens. But yet this is their symbolism. This is their prophecy. So how would a selfish individual line up with this prophecy? You'll be like a donkey. You'll be burdened down and loaded down. And you're looking at this in your own self and thinking, I don't like people. I don't like doing things for other people. I'm supposed to be the main one here. Now, don't you all sit there and look at me like you think I'm preaching to Mars. I'm not preaching to Martians. I'm preaching to you. You ain't going to tell me every individual sitting here has not struggled in your lifetime and maybe even today with selfishness. Like a strong donkey, Issachar will be forced to work for others. Now here is Zebulun. They're up there. They're the merchants. I mean, they're the Wall Street back in that day. They're the rich Jews. You know that the Jews control a great portion of the diamond market even to this day. And have for centuries. So here were these rich guys, I mean, they just walked around, you know, the big top cats and the big little curly deals and all that sort of thing. My, they was the Updikes of that day. And here was the Issachar, and every time you'd see them, they just work and go over, brother, can I help you do something? Yeah, brother, I need this. Would you help me? Yeah, I'll be glad to do it. I'll be right back. I'll go to the cove here and help sister so-and-so, and then I'm going over there to help brother so-and-so, and then I'll come back that way, and maybe 3 days, but I'll get back to you just shortly as I can. And Zebulun looked at him and said, I'm certainly glad I don't have to do that. Me too, buddy, because it'd drive you nuts. People look at wanting to be a deacon or wanting to be a trustee. And they look at their marriage and they look at this and that and they think that's the only qualification. You got to have a little bit of Dan. Got to have a little bit of Judah. Got to have a whole lot of Issachar. And only very little bit of Zebulun. And people look at, oh, I can do it. My marriage is okay. This is okay. That is okay. But they're not okay. They don't have the temperament in order to match the office. Then when you put somebody in there because of pressure or politics, there'll be nothing but a stick in the mud. It'll absolutely be nothing but trouble till you get them out. Lord, what in the world? You see, donkey habits can be really good, but some donkey habits can be really bad. When the donkey bows up and stops and ain't gonna move, he sits right down and he just plop. Them big ears of his flopping back and forth. Come on now, donkey, let's go, let's go. You're going to cause me to be late. Come on, donkey, come on. Well, get Zebulun to carry. You think he's going to mess up his top hat? You think Zebulun is going to get his clothes dirty to pack your load? Well, glory, saints. We should have called this adoption tonight, Brother Jim, as a continuation of Moses. You see, Jacob was prophesying that the tribe of Issachar, not only would they be burden bearers of their brothers, but they're also going to bow to the Canaanites. You see, with the prophecy of our life is intertwined both positive and negative. Instead of fighting the Canaanites, as it comes down years later, the double meaning of this prophecy is they finally bowed down to the Canaanites and refused to fight them. Because they were more donkey than lion. So what did they do? They just bowed to the Canaanites. And became subservient. This ought to make you want to reread your Bible again. Praise the Lord. Now you see, they preferred so much. Notice the prophecy. Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. And rejoice, in Issachar, in thy tents. But the negative part about that was, they loved their tents so much, they was willing to compromise instead of fight. We don't want to cause no trouble. I mean, we don't want to make nobody mad. I mean, we just like being at home, and we just like everybody liking us, and we liking everybody. And so do we really have to say anything that makes people mad? You dish rag. But remember, they live in one of the most fertile places in the whole land of Canaan. A place very much desired by their enemies. Which seems in one way opposite. Why would God put a donkey in one of the most fertile places in all the land? Why not put a lion? You see, no matter where God puts you, you're going to have to labor. You follow my thoughts. No matter if you're a Zebulun, you got to labor to the seacoast. No matter what you are, you're going to have to labor. It's not going to be handed to us on a silver platter. And we just said, well, glory to God, pour it out on me, Lord, while I drink another glass of tea. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your many blessings. But yet, if they're going to, they love their land and they love their tents. But they loved it so much, they was willing to compromise and said, well, just let us stay and we'll work for you. But just we like home so much. I mean, we're not fighters like our brothers. No. We're just not fighters. It's just not in us. Well, why don't you call your brothers that know how to handle a sword and defend your land? But instead of doing it, their prophecy turned right against them. And now they become subservient to the Canaanites. Lord Jesus. Lord God. Look how. Let me just read you this little bit of history. Tiglath-Pileser annexed this territory into the Assyrian Empire in 732 B.C. Issachar lost all rights of self-government. And in 721 B.C., this tribe, along with all the others of the northern kingdom, was carried into exile. Now, where's this strong donkey? The donkey needs allegiance with a lion. And he needs allegiance with a gad, a troop. Don't you understand? When Satan pulls us off to ourself, we're fixing to self-destruct. When he pulls you out of church, you and your family are trying to pull our church away from everybody. Oh, we don't need no other churches. We don't need no brothers. We're headed down a bad, bad road, friends. We need one another. We need other ministries. We need other churches. Come on, children. Why? Because there is not one perfect church. There is not one perfect preacher. We need one another. Especially as the days go by. What made them to where they would succumb to such notice? The northern kingdom. The northern kingdom. Not where Judah was. Not where the fighters were. But the royal dainties, the merchantmen, and the donkey people. All of them were ill-equipped by themselves to meet such an enemy. But they had their brothers. But the devil got between them and divided the kingdoms. And there was a northern kingdom of Israel and a southern kingdom of Israel. Now they won't speak to one another. Of course, they're all in the message and they're all following the same prophet, of course. The northern kingdom has their king now and the southern kingdom has their king. And they won't speak to one another and they fight one another and they kill one another. Come on now. Can't you see what Satan wants to do to us? Can't you see what he wants to do in your family and doing our church and doing our message? He wants to divide us and we've got this kingdom and that kingdom and another kingdom. Oh my. Notice what Jacob goes on to say. He saw that rest was good. Now he's talking about the sanctuary, the house of God. But his portion, he saw that his place was so good. He just loved his inheritance so much. And the land that it was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. He becomes so drunk on personal inheritance and personal pleasure and personal involvement that he was willing to bow his shoulder to the enemy. So they didn't have to leave home. And what did the enemy do? The enemy made them bow their shoulder and then took their home anyway. And exiled them and took away from them the very thing. That sounds like the devil. That sounds like the kind of deal he'll make with you and I today. Oh, just bow to me and I'll let you do this. And you can't deal with the devil. He'll cheat you every time. Oh my, Issachar, Issachar, you loved your tents, you love your peace, but you love it so much, you're willing to forfeit and compromise. He saw that rest was good in the land, that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and become a servant unto tribute. You see, they were a heavy-spirited type of people. Issachar's lot fell in the land of Galilee. Remember, there was a common saying in the time of the Lord Jesus, can there anything good come out of Galilee? Now, Jesus had not made that reputation, but these Issacharites had. They were low-spirited, low-key. They would not fight. They were willing to compromise. Oh, my. Well, Brother Donnie, don't we need people like that? Yeah, we do need people like that, but not in the time of war. When you're fighting, brother, you need people that know how to fight. A donkey don't do very well in wartime. You need a war horse. Now, their great soil which projected such fruits and vegetables, it was remarkable. Even the historians of Rome and different ones commented about how their soil was. Notice, Jacob goes on to say, he saw that rest was good in the land that was pleasant and bowed his shoulder to bear and become a servant unto tribute. He's prophesying hundreds of years before it happened that Canaanite invader will come in. And Issachar, part of his weakness, he loves his ground so much he just won't give it up, but he don't love it with the right love. Isn't that amazing that God can give you something and you love it the wrong way and make an idol out of it instead of loving it as a gift from God and knowing that gift is to benefit you in harmony with the Word, but instead you turn it around and make an idol. This is what people have done to preachers. This is what many of you have done to your job, what you've done to your living, what you've done to your wife and your children. A gift from God, and yet you turn it around and make an idol out of it, and it controls you. Oh, my. So instead of fighting, they were just peacemakers all the time. Oh, listen, Let's compromise. Let's see if we can talk this through. Let's see if there's no need in being so vocal about it. Let's just try to be peaceable with everybody. Look, friend, we're in an hour where we can't be peaceable with everybody. Praise the Lord. Look, friends, if I die, okay, if I die and you folks have to look for another pastor, don't get no yellow back coward. Don't you get no coward that'll stand up here and try to be politically correct and socially correct. Get a man of God that'll tell you the truth. Yeah. Notice, let me close with this. And of Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. Oh, my. The temple is to be built right near where Galilee is. Now, it's amazing that Zebulun lived so far away from the house of God. But remember, God didn't have house of gods everywhere. There was only one. And every male, one time a year, had to make that trip to the house of God. I know we have folks that come to this church and they drive a long way. But some of you don't have near the difficulty and the circumstances some of these people had. They didn't have an air-conditioned Lincoln or a Cadillac or a Volkswagen, but they had a horse or maybe a donkey or a wagon of some sort, and they had to come there. You could not build up your own house and stay home. You couldn't build up your own little house of God that looked like the real house of God. You had to go to one place where God put His name. And if you didn't do that, you wasn't obeying God. And they would have to go from all over the country. Now, these people so loved going to church that they just didn't go themselves, but they told other people about it. Oh, my. Oh, my. Don't you love going to church? How many of you folks love going to church? I love going to church. I love going to church. Some of y'all love going to Walmart. I hate Walmart. Some of you love going to Disney World. I wouldn't give you a nickel for every Disney World around the world in one pile. I hate going there. But I love going to church. I wouldn't want to go to a bar. I ain't never been one in my life, but I love going to church. I ain't never been to a strip joint, but I love going to church. There's lots of places in this world I don't want to go, but there's one place I want to go. That's church. And I'm talking about just this church. I'm talking about where God's children are gathered together. Hallelujah. They shall suck of the abundance of the seas. Let me close with this. This tribe is going to traffic with the Phoenicians in gold, silver, pearls, coral, murex, the shellfish that yielded the famous Tyrrhenian dye, and in glass,
which was manufactured from the sand of the river Belus in their immediate neighborhood. So they had sand, but it was a long way from the seashore. It was in the river. And they was going to, out of this sand, make glass. And they was going to trade in gold and silver and pearls and Tyrrhenian mollusk to make the Tyrrhenian red dye, which is of great value. And yet here's the others. Some's going to make dainties for the king. Others is going to be a warlike. Others is going to be this and that. All of them in the same country for one common goal. The wife of God of the Old Testament. I've been privileged by God to travel in many different parts of this world. And I'm always amazed when I go into different foreign countries. I listen to their singing. They'll sing some of the same songs that we'll sing and other message churches will sing. But unless you've heard Amazing Grace in Chinese, you can only imagine how it sounds. Now, I've traveled to many different parts of the world where they speak Spanish. Mexico, Venezuela, lots of different places. And even though it's Spanish, Phoenix, yet it'll be different. The music will be different. And they will bring part of their culture into their music. They'll bring part of the way they are into that. And you think, God, allowing silver and gold and coral and murex and Tyrrhenian dye and all of this and that. And the gifts of God, preachers. Some are low and slow. Some are fast and grease lightning. Praise the Lord. And that's why sometimes I'll get somebody opposite from me to come and preach here. I don't want somebody exactly like me. God knows there ain't none no way. Thank God. But you realize, why do you do that? Diversify. Diversify. Some black, some white, some brown, some yellow. Why? He chose to do it that way. He chose to do it that way. Look at our own assembly. How diverse we are. We got some folks that are wealthy. We got some folks that are poor. My goodness, they struggle from one week to the next. Is everybody ever going to get rich? No way. Is everybody ever going to get poor? I hope not, because I don't know who'll pay the bills. That's truth. Some are merchants. Some love their tents. Some of y'all travel different places, different meetings. See you down in Texas. Seen some of you up in Indiana this week. Some of y'all don't ever go nowhere. You love your tents. Some of y'all been overseas and you travel. Boy, it's just in your blood, seem like. Others of you talk about it and they just chill out. They're thinking about going through the passport and customs and all that. And they just think, there ain't no way I'm getting on no airplane. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. But yet, you may not really sync up with that brother or that sister. But yet if something happened to them. You know what? All them differences and the oddities that you have. Look, children. Don't misunderstand me. I believe the majority, no doubt, of this people, you're born again and got the Holy Ghost. But you realize we're still human beings and we can't get along. There ain't but one person in this place tonight I'd want to spend any more than 3 weeks with in the same house. Now, I like you folks, but I don't want to live with none of you. And I can tell you, you don't want to live with me. It's not that I'm mean or contrary. I'm a loner. Stay by myself. Don't a Carol.
There's only one person in this building. I love my young'uns, but I'm glad they're married. I love my son-in-laws, but not well enough to live in the same house with them. I love my grandkids. Brother Homer Longoria said he loves to see them headlights of them grandkids coming, but he loves to see them taillights going. Don't you understand? We all have to be changed. Can you imagine us going to heaven just like we are, except younger? We'd be as cliquey as we are here. You'd find yourself avoiding that person or that one because they got this temperament about them and this makeup. Friends, we need a change. The things that's lacking in us that makes us. Now, don't stand there and say, yeah, it's everybody else. It ain't just everybody else. It's you too. It's me. It's you, Brother Wes. It's all of us. It's all of us. How can we ever be able to live together? Will be prophesied into it. Will be prophesied into it. It'll come right up, and our bodies are being subject to the Word, subject to the Word, and it'll come right up to that very moment, and the change will erupt like the earth exploding, the volcanic fire that spewed out of itself from within you. You will spew out your own change. And all your oddities and peculiarities will be changed at the same time everybody else's will be too. And there'll never be anybody that you'll avoid in the streets of gold. Amen. I mean, you're walking down Glory Avenue, hallelujah. I hope you didn't see me. There won't be none of that. There won't be none of that. We'll all be changed. Go ahead, admit it. You need to be changed. You don't just need a young body. You need to be finished up, changed. Because there's things about every one of us that just ain't likable. Now, I love you, children. But there's parts about you I just don't like. It's okay. You can tell me the same thing. Brother Donnie, we love you. If there's parts about you we don't like, fine, fine, fine. Oh, my. Won't it be wonderful? Won't it be wonderful? All of us will be changed. Millions. 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 We're only talking about a number now on the earth. They say approximately 2 million people follow the message. That's just the ones that's alive. That's just the ones that they know that's around it. This ain't the only number. What about the millions that have gone on? Can you imagine millions of people all living together and no one ever says a short word to the other one? No husbands and wives will ever have any arguments. You mean they'll be there together like that? Well, the prophet said she'll just be yours forever. Won't be like husband and wife and bringing children, but she'll just be yours forever. You see, when a man meets a woman and he falls in love with her, and he don't know why. And a woman meets a man and she falls in love with him, and she don't know why. That's an eternal mate. And they stepped out of eternity together in a body called time. And one day they'll step back into eternity together again. I like to talk to young people when they're fixing to get married and ask, well, why do you love her and why do you love him? And I love it when they run out of descriptive terms. And I sit there and listen patiently because that's what I'm waiting for. If they can tell me every reason why and they don't run out at the end, it makes me nervous. But if they finally run out of descriptive terms to use, I believe they really love one another. Because ultimately, they don't know why. Glory to God. They don't know why, so how can they explain it? I don't know why he loved me, but I'm glad he did. I don't know how sometimes I can keep on pressing on and pressing on through all the hard times. I don't know how sometimes, but I do. I don't know how you do, but we do. Why? We stepped out of eternity together, and we're going to step back together into his eternal presence. Dad, Issachar, Naphtali, Reuben, Dan, Ephraim, Manasseh, all of us together. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh, I just wish we could leave here tonight. How we long for that day, Lord Jesus. We see this old world that we're living in, and every week something seems like it's happening. More rotten and corruption around us everywhere. Politics and our government and our law. Oh, Lord, come. Please, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Father, maybe there's some out there that's still left. We don't know. Lord, some of our brothers fixing to make a tour over to Japan. I pray you'd go before them. Maybe that last predestinated seed might be embodied in a Japanese body. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. We can do our part. Some are to make the dainties of the king. Some are to trade in the dyes, and the gold and the silver. Some are to raise the flocks. Some are to bear the burdens. But Lord, whatever we're called to do, may each of us come to our place. I just can't keep from believing that the bride in that mystical body will have to be in her place functioning. It would be improper for you to take a body that is not working in the rapture. Every member of the bride must be in her position, in her place, functioning. You are coming after a functioning, working body. Not some in, some out, some doing this, some doing that, some doing their own thing. No way. That would be a deformed body that you had taken the rapture. So preachers will be preaching, teachers will be teaching, evangelists will be evangelizing, singers will be singing, housewives will be doing their housewife duties, each person doing what they're called to do. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then in unison, we'll all walk out of this world together at the same time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Can we just raise our hands? Now I want you tonight, with all your heart, what are you called to be? Maybe you know, maybe some of you don't. Maybe some of you have been through two or three different things in your life, and it seemed like you're searching and you're still not sure. Well, am I supposed to be a mechanic? Am I supposed to be a farmer? Am I supposed to be a converter guy? What am I supposed to be? The prophet said you're better off to go to him who brought you on the earth and ask him, Lord, what am I here for? He said you'd save yourself and God a lot of trouble. Go to him who brought you here and find what you're supposed to do. Get in your place so we can leave this world. How many would like to be remembered tonight before the Lord? Don't worry about being great, small, famous, important. Forget that. Get that out of your mind. Just be what God wants you to be. Would you lay your hand on the person standing near you? Let's just offer a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, maybe a merchant, maybe a painter has their hand upon a farmer. Maybe a housewife has her hand laid upon a nurse. Maybe a nurse has her hand laid upon a secretary in an office or something. Maybe a farmer's wife, or maybe a woman that doesn't even have a public job. Maybe a man that's disabled has his hand laid upon another man that is a computer specialist, an IT guy. We're very diverse. And Lord, then we think around the world. The brothers in Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda, Zimbabwe, South Africa,
Australia, New Zealand, China, all over the world, their walks, their works would be so different from ours. Yet somehow you'll get them, every one, to where they need to be. So this body will be functioning at her premier level before the body change. There won't be one lazy one. There won't be one that'll be out of their place. There won't be one stubborn one. One rebellious one. Each one finding their position and being in that harmony. It will truly be one of the greatest all-time miracles that has ever been on the face of this earth. It was absolutely amazing when you spoke and said, let there be light, and an atom divided and molecules began to fly out into the universe. How wonderful that must have been. But Lord, to see what you're going to do before the bride can leave in this rapture, it's absolutely phenomenal to see that you around the world in a global way will bring your people to their position. Lord, only you could do such a thing. In the middle of hell, she will walk in that harmony. Each one being what they're supposed to be. Each one filled with the Holy Ghost. Each one of them laying aside pride and arrogance and laying aside kingdom building and laying aside anything that displeases you, Lord. Every one of them around the world walking in perfect harmony. What a miracle! And it will be, and there's not enough devils in hell to stop it from coming to pass. Praise God. Lord, we want to be a little part of that great work. Praise God. Lord, I don't want to be like Brother Tim. I don't want to be like Brother Wayne Lawson, Brother Darrell, Brother Terry. I just want to be what you made me to be, Lord. I want to function exactly in what you made me to be, Lord Jesus. I pray every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice would find the same desire tonight if they don't have it. Help them, Lord, to lay aside pride and arrogance and their big this and their big that, Lord, and trying to be recognized and be famous and important. Lord, help us to realize that's of the devil. That's not of you. Help us to lay it aside, Lord, and be what you want us to be. If you want us to be burden bearers, so be it. If you want us to be merchants, so be it. Corn raisers, so be it. Help us, Lord, to find our place and to function in the economy of God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I want to say it tonight. I'm going to be in my place. I'm going to be in my place by your help, and nothing's going to keep me out of it. Praise God. Whether it's big or small or important or not important, that makes no difference at all to me. I want to be exactly what you want me to be. No more than a little cog in the wheel of the rapture. But every one of us in our position, grant it, Lord God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, every housewife, every child, Lord Jesus, help each of us to find our place. Help us, Lord, to line up with the prophecy of our hour. This is our time, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Father. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many want your place? Your place, not another's. Not another's position. No, well, I want to be like this guy. This guy raises so much money and I want to be like him. No, you want to be exactly what God made you to be. Oh, I wish, Brother Donnie, I could be a singer. I wish I could be a songwriter. Just be what God wants you to be, and don't worry about being somebody else. Be what God wants you to be. Let God help you to fulfill that spot. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song together. I want what you want. I want what you want. Do you? I want what you want, Lord. If it's little, if it's small, look, friends, this is how I look at it. If the end of my destiny is that I'm to no longer pastor a church of hundreds, but I'm to pastor one of 15 or 20. If our crowd at Happy Valley goes down to 5 or 10 or 30, if that's God's will, so be it. If God wants me to move here and go to wherever and start a church and it ends up being 35 or 40, so be it. I want His will. Well, Brother Donnie, that don't make no sense. There's a lot about the will of God that don't make no sense. I ain't working about sense. I want His will. I want His will. If that's what He wants, that's what I want. Is that what you want? You see, most of us love promotion, but we don't love being shrunk down any.
We don't like being cut down and honed and shaped and all that. That is part of the final stage for the rapture. Let's sing it together before we go. I want what you want for me, dear Lord. Whatever.
I'm happy now.
that I am learning, yielded to your plan. Trusting now, Lord, in your decision, my life is in your hand. I want what you want for me. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed. Church, take up your cross.
Just to know that the Lord has saved your soul. Have you forgotten what you need to do? To do? Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow Him. Take up your cross.